Chapter 6. Madame Defarge knits a register. At midday, on a warm day in late August, Ernest Defarge returned to his wine shop in Saint-Antoine. With him was a road mender in a blue cap.
"Give this good man Jacques a drink," Defarge said to his wife. "He has walked a long way."
Madame Defarge poured the road mender a glass of wine and picked up her knitting again. Then Defarge took him to a quiet corner.
"Tell me about Gaspard," he whispered.
"I first saw him a year ago, hiding under the Marquis's carriage," replied the road mender. "He disappeared for 10 or 11 months, but then he was found. I saw 6 soldiers leading him away, his arms tied. He was put behind bars in the prison on the hill above the village and treated cruelly. But the villagers did not believe he would be hanged because the death of his child had made him mad. Then, finally, one Sunday night while the village was asleep, soldiers came down from the prison and ordered a gallows to be built beside the fountain. The next day, the prisoner was brought down, his hands tied, and a cloth round his mouth. He was hanged at the gallows, 40 feet high, and was left there. It was horrible. The women could not get water from the fountain. That's all, monsieur. I left at sunset." Later, when Defarge was alone with his wife, he reported the story to her.
"You'll register this?" he said.
"Yes, I'll knit it in my own stitches, clear only to me."
"We'll take Jacques the roadmender to Versailles on Sunday to see the king and queen," said Defarge. "You must show a dog what he's chasing if you wish him to catch it."
When Sunday came, a man in the crowd noticed Madame Defarge knitting as she stood waiting to see the king and queen's golden carriage.
"You work hard, madame," he said.
"Yes," she answered. "I have a lot to do."
Finally, the golden carriage arrived, carrying the king and queen dressed in their fine clothes and jewels. The roadmender opened his eyes wide.
"Long live the king! Long live the queen!" he cried.
"That's right," Defarge whispered in his ear. "Make these fools believe their power will last forever. Trick them a little longer, Jacques. Then they will know nothing of what is coming."
That night, the roadmender returned through the darkness to his village, where the Marquis of Evrémonde lay in his grave and Gaspard hung from the gallows. On their return journey to Saint-Antoine, Monsieur and Madame Defarge stopped at the barrier. Defarge knew one of the police there well and wanted to speak to him. Madame Defarge waited. When her husband returned, they continued their journey without speaking. The wine shop was in darkness when they arrived.
"What did Jacques of the police tell you?"
Madame Defarge asked as soon as the door was closed.
"Another spy has been sent to Saint-Antoine," her husband replied.
"He'll be registered. What is his name?"
"John Barsad. He's English."
"John Barsad," she repeated. "What does he look like?"
"Aged about 40, 5 feet 9 inches tall, quite handsome, with dark hair and eyes."
Defarge began to walk up and down impatiently.
"It's taking a long time," he said. "Perhaps we won't see victory during our lives.
Yes, it takes a long time, but everything we do has a purpose, his wife said. And I believe, with all my heart, that we'll see the victory. If I saw the neck of an aristocrat, I would...
Stop! Cried Defarge, anxious that she might think him less brave.
I too, my dear, will stop at nothing.
Next day, Madame Defarge was at her place in the wine shop, as usual, busily knitting. When a stranger came in, she laid down her knitting.
Good afternoon, madame, the man said.
The spy, thought Madame Defarge. Aged about 40, 5 feet 9 inches tall, quite handsome, with dark hair and eyes.
Good afternoon, monsieur,
she said, pouring him a glass of wine. Then she picked up her knitting again.
You knit very well, madame, he said. May I ask what it's for? It depends, she replied. I may find a use for it one day.
John, she said to herself, counting the stitches as her fingers knitted the name.
Her eyes looked at the stranger.
If you stay long enough, I'll knit Barsad before you go, she thought.
Business seems bad, said the stranger. Business is very bad. The people are so poor. Ah, the poor people. They are oppressed, as you say. As you say,
corrected Madame, and her fingers quickly knitted an extra something into his name that meant him no good. The spy, who was there to collect any information he could, did not give up.
The hanging of poor Gaspar was a bad business, he said, shaking his head. If people use knives in that way, they have to pay for it,
answered Madame.
I believe there is great anger and pity here for poor Gaspar.
Is there? Replied Madame.
Ah, here's my husband.
At that moment, Defarge had walked through the door.
Good afternoon, Jacques,
said the spy. Defarge stared at him.
That isn't my name. I am Ernest Defarge, he said.
Never mind,
said the spy, uncomfortable now.
I was saying to your wife that there is great anger and pity here for poor Gaspar.
I know nothing about that, said Defarge. You seem to know this area better than I do.
No, but I hope to know it better, said the spy. Now, I remember when Dr. Manette was freed from the Bastille, you looked after him.
That is true, said Defarge.
His daughter came here to collect him with an old man in a little wig.
That is true, said Defarge.
I've heard about Dr. Manette and his daughter in England. She's going to be married.
Is that right? Replied Madame Defarge. She was pretty enough to be married a long time ago. You English are so cold.
Yes,
replied Barsad, shocked that she had realized he was English.
But she's marrying a man who, like herself, is French by birth. And isn't it strange that he's the nephew of the Marquis whom Gaspar killed? But he's not a Marquis in England. He's Mr. Charles Darnay.
Madame Defarge calmly continued to knit, but her husband began to tremble, which the spy noticed at once. With this success, Barsad paid for his drink and left.
Can it be true?
Defarge whispered to his wife as soon as Barsad had gone.
It's probably false,
she replied.
But it may be true.
If victory does come during our lives, I hope Miss Manette's husband never returns to France, said Defarge.
Her husband's journey will take him where he has to go, said Madame Defarge, and will lead him to the end that will end him.